there was an idea called the Avengers Initiative. The idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they could become something more. See if they could work together when we needed them to fight the battles we never could. Welcome to the Beyond the Start Button podcast. In this episode, we will be reviewing Avengers Infinity War. Plus, we'll be taking a look at Power Rangers Shattered Grid, Star Wars Resistance, and the brand new indie comic series, The Blue Flame Legends. So strap in and get ready to go Beyond the Start Button.
Arcaders, it's UberNerd527 here, along with the Bucky to my Captain America. How's that?
Yep,
I like that. This is my Bucky to my Captain America. Danny the Ultrasonic Player. Yay!
Alright!
We're really excited. Welcome to the Beyond the Start Button podcast. Podcast where we talk about what we nerd out about month to month. Every month, we give you a brand new podcast. We talk about video games, movies, television, what have you. And we're really excited to bring this new episode to you. Now, we are bringing it live, so please forgive us because there's going to be background noises and kids screaming and all this other things that are going to be happening. Please forgive us for that because that's going to be happening. But we'll try to take out as much as in editing. But we are about to go watch The Infinity War.
Yes.
Yes, the movie that everyone has been waiting for.
10 years in the making.
10 years in the making. But we got a special podcast today. Today, we're going to talk about Marvel and its 10 years and the effect on everything. And then at the end of the podcast today, we are going to talk about the movie itself. We're going to review it. So if you haven't seen it yet, don't worry. We are not going to spoil the movie until the end of the podcast. So please, if you haven't seen it yet, don't listen to the end of the podcast. Unless you like spoilers, then whatever.
Then by all means, just listen away.
Right. But of course, we always like to start our podcast off with what we've been really excited about. Now, we don't have too much today because we want to get right into our Marvel stuff. So really quickly, Danny the Ultrasonic Player, what have you been passionate about this month?
Oh my gosh. Two big things.
Okay.
Though I think maybe the latter part we can probably, both discuss.
So, but
the big thing. First off, is for all of you out there who are Power Ranger fans, as you probably already know by now, well, as you may already know, the morphing grid has been shattered. Now, what exactly am I talking about? Well, basically, it's been a while now, and the big event in the Boom Studios Power Ranger comics has begun, and it is called Shattered Grid. And so, there have already been a few issues that have come out, and needless to say, the stakes are already high from the word go, and already there have been some lives lost, so to say the least. I mean, for those of you who haven't already known, there is an alternate version of Tommy Oliver. That's right, the fan favorite of Power Rangers. And apparently, in one alternate timeline, he did not turn back to good after he was freed from Rita's spell, and so instead he decided to pretty much take over Earth and turn it into his own. Well, totalitarian empire, to say the least.
So we're talking about Injustice here.
Yeah, pretty much pretty much Power Rangers' version of Injustice.
Okay.
And it is, and granted, in many of the earlier issues of Power Rangers, our heroes did manage to stop him and everything else, or so we were led to believe. But apparently, a lot of stuff has happened since then, and now he's pretty much run amok, and he's pretty much going after all the Power Rangers, starting with basically the Tommies from every single universe, and unfortunately, one of them actually turned out to be the one in our main canon in the comics, not the TV show. So in case you're wondering if the comics do tie in with the TV show, they do not. They are in their own continuity. But unfortunately, spoilers for issues 25 and 26, the Tommy Oliver that we have been following in the main Boom Studios comic has unfortunately been killed and literally stabbed in the back by Draken himself.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I mean, so, and this was the first issue of, or rather the first part of Shattered Grid.
Wow.
And so, and unfortunately, but it turns out we also ended up getting another Power Ranger from later on in the future, Time Force, Jen, the pink Time Force Ranger. And not only that, but it turns out she is the only survivor of her team, because it turns out Draken had also gotten to the rest of her teammates as well. So unfortunately, Wes, Katie, Trip, and Lucas, yeah, they unfortunately also bit the big one. And it looks as though those deaths are permanent. Now, in the case of Tommy, unfortunately, as much as I don't want to say it, but based on both issues 25 and 26, it looks as though this death may be permanent. Maybe. Because again, remember, it's comic books, so
yeah,
you know,
yeah, that doesn't mean too much.
Yeah, that, yeah, don't, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But unfortunately, they did follow the issue 26. Basically, follows it. It pretty much continues over the course of several days, and much like in the TV show, Tommy's Dragon Shield pretty much gets passed on to Jason. So now, when he morphs into the Red Ranger, now he pretty much has the shield on there by default. But the panels. And again, this is a credit to both Kyle Higgins and the artists that work with him. And I'm sorry that I don't, that I've forgotten their names. But it's not Henry Praseria. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that name. I don't mean to. But the way they're able to do the panels, and again, you being an artist, you pretty much know what it's like. But the way they're able to do it, you pretty much can feel the emotional punch that our heroes are feeling, particularly Kim and Jason for obvious reasons. You know, Jason being Tommy's best friend and Kim obviously being, you know, Tommy's first serious girlfriend. And, you know, it's something that you can tell is carrying on. And now, that scene, the panel, and again, if you can even look it up, the scene where Jason is getting the Dragon Shield for the first time, someone from Boom Studios basically, made a comment that it's no longer just an enhancement. Given what ended up happening to Tommy now, it's now essentially Jason's cross to bear. And it shows in the following, panels. And unfortunately, basically things are about to get even worse. So it really, in a way, it's almost kind of like, and I don't want to compare it to the film, and it's almost kind of a little bit like Infinity War, where basically, we're gonna lose some people. I mean, now granted, because Shattered Grid is a comic book, mm-hmm. who knows if these deaths will be permanent? I don't know, I mean, but I guess only time will tell. But bottom line is that the stakes are getting higher, and there's no telling how much will be lost before the Rangers get to a point where they're able to finally stop Draken. So it's, but in all, it's pretty good. And of course, you know, JDF himself, you know, has, aka Tommy, you know, he has given a stamp of approval. He even did that promo video that I...
Oh, yes. It looked really cool.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wishing that's actually like a permanent thing. I kind of wish that they would, you know, make it, you know, in the Nickelodeon.
I mean, I always feel that maybe it may be time for the TV show itself to be retooled. Now, granted, it doesn't mean it has to go like full like Christopher Nolan adults only type thing, because I think if you look at shows like Avatar: The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra, both of which were Nickelodeon shows, ironically, and even the new current Voltron show on Netflix, I feel that that kind of vibe would work for Power Rangers very well, just
right.
in terms of storytelling, world building, character developments, mm-hmm. and everything else. And speaking of which, I think a Power Rangers series on Netflix, and maybe even do it animated, would work, because for one thing, you can do the action, you can do all these things, you know, and it would appeal to both kids up to adults. Where kids could watch it and enjoy it, adults can watch it and
very
enjoy
much
it.
Like Voltron.
Exactly.
Something like that. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Cool.
So that's what's really got me going.
All right. Well, the next thing is something that surprised both of us when we... I was shocked. I mean, to be honest, I knew this was coming. I just didn't know when they were going to announce it. And like a fellow Star Wars fan of mine said, I wasn't really thinking that this was going to come out until 2019. I thought we were actually going to get a lull between Solo and Episode 9. Disney XD announced that they are going to have a brand new Star Wars series starting this year.
That's right.
And it is headed by our own Dave Filoni.
Yep.
So I'm very excited about that. And this one is going to be called Star Wars Resistance. And if you can already tell, this is going to be taking place in the sequel trilogy prior to Force Awakens. So I'm very excited about this. It's going to have a brand new original character as our main. But they said that BB-8 will be joining. As well as we're going to be seeing characters like Poe Dameron and Captain Phasma pop up. And voiced by their actual live-action counterparts.
Woo-hoo.
So, yeah, that's going to be awesome. I'm very excited about this. Now, one of the key, they didn't really tell us too much. Now, we know this takes place before Force Awakens. We are both in agreement that this will probably take place after the Bloodline book. So if you haven't read the books, Bloodline is a very, very important book to the Star Wars sequel trilogy canon.
Yes.
I figure it's taking place probably after that book. So that show takes, that book takes place 6 years before Force Awakens.
Yes.
So, you know, it's going to be really cool. This guy's a pilot. The main character's going to be a pilot. And he's going to be flying missions for the Resistance.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to find out who these First Order guys are and what they're up to and what's going on with them. So this is going to be really, really cool. I'm very excited about it. Now, the one thing that was really surprising about this was that this was going to be taking a very anime-inspired look.
Yeah.
Now, from the one image we've been given, we're not sure if this is going to be hand-drawn or computer animated like the other two series have been.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of hoping this is going to be hand-drawn and very anime-inspired.
Yeah, me too.
But we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I mean, first off, I mean, I'm really hoping that the animation style is hand-drawn, because the thing is, you know, and don't get me wrong, Clone Wars was epic, and even Rebels really got epic towards the latter seasons.
Don't tell me, I don't want to know la-la-la-la-la, don't know how it ends.
So that's all I'm going to say. but the thing is that I think, just to kind of switch it up, but not too much, I think a hand-drawn feel, especially an anime-inspired feel, would really be good. Plus, it would really kind of give a little bit of an animation throwback, because just like how the Star Wars movies, particularly the classic trilogy, is very much a throwback to, you know, classic, you know, Hollywood 1930s and 40s, the animation style would be perfect for that, because, I don't know, for those of you who were old enough to remember, there was this thing called Japan, well, before it was called anime, the other nickname for animated series that came over from Japan, directly from Japan, was called Japanimation.
Uh-huh.
And you had shows like Robotech, even though, you know, over there they had called it Macross and whatnot. Those were done, you know, obviously during the 80s. But I gotta tell you, there was something about some of the animation styles that they did that kind of made it kind of, I don't know, we could call it sharp, or at least, I guess kind of like, it was very distinct than what we were exposed to as kids to, quote unquote, to Western animation. And especially during the action scenes, like, when the action really kicked into high gear, the anime style really kind of really showed.
Right.
And of course, nowhere is this more prevalent than in shows like Dragon Ball Z.
Right. But also, if you really think about it, if it has an anime look, and it's a hand-drawn anime look, it's gonna be a lot better. It's gonna also set it apart from the other two, series, because the other two were, you know, each series had a distinct look.
They really did.
You know, Clone Wars had a more, I want to say Thunderbirds kind of look to it, whereas Rebels had a very Ralph McQuarrie look to it.
Yeah.
They really went back to Ralph McQuarrie and his designs for Star Wars, and they really gave it that look. And then, you know, this, if it's hand-drawn, or maybe it's a mix, maybe it's hand-drawn and computer animation.
I wouldn't mind
that. Yeah.
Going back to Voltron, you know, given how they were able to incorporate both self hand-drawn animation with a little, with just the right amount of CG, it worked. It didn't feel glaring. It didn't feel out of place. It flowed.
And Dave Filoni did work on Avatar as well, so it's kind of going back to his roots, I guess.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm excited for Resistance, and we'll be talking probably more about that as it gets closer to its opening.
One other thing I should add too. Another thing. I really would, like you, I wouldn't mind the idea of it taking place after Bloodlines, because that's really when everything starts to kick into high gear.
Right.
You know, this, unfortunately, it did pretty much destroy Leia's political career, but it definitely set the stage for the First Order to really start making their move, and obviously set the domino effect for Ben Solo to go into, to turn into Kylo Ren.
Right, and we could probably see that, maybe get Luke Skywalker, maybe we could actually see the Jedi Temple that he built, you know, and this may even take place before the Poe Dameron comics that they did.
Yeah.
So that's a cool little, you know, area to do it in, so.
Yeah. Plus, if you see, for those who had seen that YouTube video that somebody had done, it was a fan-made video of Star Wars, but it was done using that 1980s, Japanimation style or anime style. Again, and the way the action scene was done.
It fits. It fits well.
It fits like a hand in glove.
Right, right.
So, I'm looking forward to it. I know you're looking forward to it, so here's hoping.
Alright. So we're moving on to something new, something different, something we haven't really done on this show before. So a lot of you out there, probably listening to this either already know or maybe you don't know. Maybe this is your first time listening, and welcome if you are listening for the first time. But if you don't know, I am an artist, and I've been drawing a lot. I've been drawing since I was probably about 5 years old, maybe sooner than that. But I can always remember drawing, and one of the things I've always loved to do is I've always loved to create. I've always loved to create stories, create my own characters, and just recently, I have finally released my first comic book, which is published out, and now it's out in the public now. I'm very, very excited about it. It's called The Blue Flame Legends. And we'll be talking a little bit more about this on the podcast. In fact, we have some plans. We'll go ahead and tell you, but just know that this is not set in stone yet. Plans may change, but we're thinking about, well, I was at least thinking about doing a small mini cast here on our Beyond the Star Button feed where you guys can get a little in-depth look at Blue Flame and kind of be introduced to the characters, the story, and all that. So I'm very happy about this. Now, a few people have gotten I'm calling them advanced copies of the comic, and of course, one of them being Danny the Ultrasonic Player.
Of course.
So I'm very proud of it. I'm very excited about it. Now, if you want more information on the comic itself, if you want to know a little bit more about the characters, if you really can't wait to hear more about this thing, you can go to facebook.com/TheBlueFlameLegends. Again, that's facebook.com/TheBlueFlameLegends. And you can actually see, I have been posting every day, information about the characters and, information about the, story and the world that it takes place in. And like I said, hopefully we'll be adding to our podcast here and give you a little bit more information about it, as we go along. Also, I'll probably be giving you information on how you can get yourself a copy if you'd like to get yourself a copy. I'm very happy about this, very excited about having my first comic out there. And this comes after working on our website, thearcadearchives.com, where I did a webcomic called Tales from the Game Grid.
Yep.
For 3 years I did it, the webcomic, and it was really kind of fun to do that, but I kind of wanted to do something more. I kind of wanted to tell my own story with my own characters, and now I finally get to do that. So I took a year hiatus, and from the comic, and I just focused on the story, and now it's out there, and I couldn't be more proud. I know, like, one of the local comic book stores, Crumb's World, to us, they actually have been selling copies at their store, and today I walked into the store and actually saw my comic sitting on the shelf with all these other, you know, comics, and I couldn't be prouder.
Yeah, it's got to be surreal for you, though.
Yes,
it really does.
It very is so much surreal to know that people are reading this comic and enjoying it, and there's more on the way. This is a series, not just one single comic book. I'm just giving people a taste of what's in store. Yeah, again, go to facebook.com/TheBlueFlameLegends, and you guys can check out the more information about it, okay? All right, so now that we've talked about all of our stuff, it is time to jump in to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. All right, so Danny, I want you've been so excited to bring this to the podcast.
Yes.
I'm going to let you helm this now, so take it away.
Well, okay, so to start off, as everybody now knows, what we're about to see is something that is 10 years in the making. But more than that, it is something that I don't think any of us ever thought would happen. It was something that I'm sure all of us in some way, shape, or form had dreamt about and always wished for. But we never really thought it would ever really happen. And especially to this degree. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, outside of the comics, the only other medium where we saw, like, team-ups of an epic magnitude were in animation. And that was it. And, of course, granted, I mean, because of the nature of animation, you could do that. But to do it in live action, and not just that, not just to do it in live action, and not just to make it believable, but to be able to weave several storylines within a much bigger storyline, and then have them all combine and connect in such an organic way that when you reach the zenith, all of a sudden everything comes together, the picture becomes clearer, and you just find yourself just like being frozen, and you're not even sure whether to just pass out from just sheer delight of what you're seeing, or just allow yourself to just be frozen in carbonite forever because what you're seeing is so epic. This is basically what Avengers Infinity War is, and what all the films, starting from 2008's Iron Man to now, have been leading up to. But the thing is, in looking back at it and seeing how it all came together, what was really amazing was the fact that Marvel Studios decided to take a chance. Instead of licensing their characters out, they decided to take charge and take matters into their own hands and actually do it themselves. And here's an interesting thing. It turns out that the reason why they were able to get enough money to create their own studio was basically off of the back of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films. So essentially, Spider-Man helped create Marvel Studios.
Well, I mean, rightfully so.
Exactly.
Except for the third movie, which we don't talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
The first two movies were great.
Yeah.
Well-deserved of that, you know.
Yeah.
And I can remember seeing those first two Spider-Man movies and just being so excited to finally see, you know, Spider-Man, who was definitely one of my favorite superheroes of all time, on the big screen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really didn't like that. But then, fast forward to the first Iron Man movie, you know, that was a shocker.
Yeah.
Because nobody was expecting that movie to be good.
No.
And nobody.
And with good reason, too, because, for one thing, Iron Man was a character that the outside folks never really knew much about or cared about.
Right.
And another thing, too, was that for those who were in the know, Iron Man at that point in time was not exactly the most well-liked character because of a certain big comic book storyline that had just wrapped up.
Right.
Which was Civil War.
Right.
And so he was basically a third-rate character. And the fact that Marvel Studios was not only able to make him likable, but more than that, they were able, before that, Kevin Feige, who became president of Marvel Studios, I believe around the early, 2000 or 2001, he basically cast Jon Favreau, whom I had known from some films. He cast, of all people, Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
Which was pretty controversial.
He's perfect.
But yeah, oh no, it fit the character. And in some ways, it almost kind of, you know, there's that saying, life imitates art. Well,
right. The
character, in a way, got a resurgence, as did the actor, because Robert Downey Jr., you know, he was trying to make a comeback after, you know, some personal things, and lo and behold, he became a household name once again.
Right, and it was and rightfully so, because that first Iron Man was great, and then of course after Iron Man we got Hulk.
Yeah, the Incredible Hulk.
Right, and then but the one thing that hit this going was the secret ending at the end of Iron Man.
Oh yeah, the concept of the post credits.
The bigger universe.
Yep.
You know, because they weren't sure if Iron Man was going to do well.
Yeah.
But they figured if it did do well, they would put this end scene at the very end of the credits, and that way, if it didn't work, so what? You know, it's at the end of the credits, so you know maybe not a lot of people would stay to watch it.
Yeah.
But if it did work, all right. And then, of course, because of the end scene at the end of Iron Man, then you got Hulk, the Incredible Hulk came out, so they decided to hook up the two movies by adding Robert Downey Jr. coming in as Tony Stark, and hooking on to the end of Iron Man, which was a great idea.
Oh, yeah, hands down.
Phenomenal idea. And then, of course, moving on forward, you know, that seems to be Marvel's bread and butter, is like taking things you didn't expect would be good and making them good. I mean, let's go down the list here. We have Guardians of the Galaxy is probably the best example.
Oh yeah, because I didn't know who those characters were.
I didn't know who they were either. I had heard of them, like
vaguely.
I knew who Rocket Raccoon was. I knew who Groot was, but like I didn't know who Star-Lord was. I didn't know who Gamora was. I didn't know who Drax was. And then all of a sudden, we get Guardians of the Galaxy, and my gosh, my brain exploded. This movie was amazing.
Yeah.
I can actually remember the moment I was going to love this movie. Okay?
When was it?
Oh, it was actually before the movie even came out. Okay? So, for those of you who don't live in Florida and don't have access to the parks easily, they decided to do a special preview at the parks for Guardians of the Galaxy. It was in 3D. You got to watch it with 3D glasses. And it was essentially the opening scene to Guardians of the Galaxy, the whole dance scene.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched this scene, and my gosh, it charmed the heck out of me. And I knew from that scene alone that I was going to love this movie. Because I don't even think Disney thought that this movie would be as big as it has.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got Guardians of the Galaxy, Ant-Man. I mean, who would have thought Ant-Man would be a cool character?
Especially considering what I know about the character, and it's not even the original Ant-Man in the driver's seat, so to speak, but rather it's the successor. Right. Even though, granted, you still have the original one there, but more in a mentor capacity.
Right, and I like that idea, and it almost kind of reminds me of Batman Beyond, which is one of my favorite Batman stories.
Yeah.
But you know, and then of course you've got we got Thor.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, who am I missing now? We've got Black Panther.
Black Panther,
which has bombed the box office.
Yeah, it took over the whole thing.
It's such a good movie. And if you haven't heard our review of it, that was, 2 episodes ago.
Yeah.
Feel free to check that out, because we both really enjoyed that movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, even Thor, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Who knew that show was going to go on as long as they did?
Yeah, and that's not even counting the Netflix shows, Jessica Jones and Daredevil. I mean, yeah, they're often in their own little part of the MCU, but the fact that they are there, and yes, they are in the MCU, just, you know, kind of
right.
out of the way.
And,
you know, it's nothing short of amazing to see how they've been able to craft this big universe, almost in a way very similar to how
the comics actually
the comics
actually. And now that gets everyone else scrambling to do the same thing. You know, you have Universal who tried to make a monster universe.
Yeah, they tried
with
that.
Mummy, which is not working. Of course, we also have Universal who's trying to make a kaiju universe.
Yeah.
First we have Godzilla, now we have King Kong, and then eventually we're going to get Godzilla 2, which is fine. I love Godzilla. I didn't see King Kong yet.
Yeah.
But apparently that's supposed to be a whole universe thing. So,
yeah.
And then of course, poor DC, who is trying very, very hard to do the same thing, but it has a lot of stairs to climb.
Yeah, and look, I mean, here's the thing. You know, I mean, DC, they have all the ingredients to create a shared universe. The problem is that what they need is somebody who's able to, who understands the source material. Not just the Batman source material, but all the entire source material,
right.
and knows how these characters should be and how to be able to weave them in.
Right.
I mean, look, I mean, no disrespect to Geoff Johns, but unfortunately, he's not Kevin Feige. You know, I mean, and also, as we've seen from previous, from the previous films, like, you know, Suicide Squad and BVS.
Right.
You know, I mean, well, there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Right. And I think they're also trying to hurry too much. I think what they should do is slow down, like Wonder Woman. An amazing movie.
Oh yeah. It's
great.
Epic. It's an epic
very
film.
Good origin story film. And it shows that they could actually do it.
Yeah.
And I think the other part is that DC is trying too much to be like Marvel, or being too dark.
Yeah.
Either they have this like edge.
Yeah.
That they're like they either go to one side or the other. It's either too edgy, too dark, or you know, too Marvel. They're trying to be too much like Marvel.
Yeah.
So I. And no offense to DC, because I do like DC.
Yeah, me too.
And I do like a lot of characters in DC, but like they need to figure out a good medium and go with that.
Yeah.
But I feel that the Marvel MCU has been doing very, very well. I know not everyone likes it, but to be honest, in my personal opinion, and you can agree or disagree with me if you want to, I am not going to these movies to have my life changed.
No, I
am going to these movies because they entertain me.
Exactly.
Are they the greatest movies ever made? No. But they are good, and I enjoy them, and they entertain me.
Yeah.
And it's like a comic book come to life.
Exactly.
And so what if it's cheesy? So what if they have the jokes and the humor or whatever? It doesn't matter. To me, it's entertaining.
Exactly. And the thing is, comic book movies are essentially our modern day fairy tales and modern mythology.
Right.
And in keeping with that, the best way to make these kinds of films successful is to be earnest, but at the same token, or in other words, to quote Richard Donner, take the material seriously, but at the same token, do not take yourself too seriously. Okay. Allow there to be a sense of fun. Allow there to be a sense of adventure to it.
Right.
Because if you go too dark, I'm sorry, but that doesn't always translate, especially if the dark, gritty route doesn't fit the aesthetic of who the characters are.
Right. I mean, to me, dark and gritty doesn't really fit Superman. You know, yeah, it may fit Batman fine, but it doesn't fit, it may fit Suicide Squad fine, but it doesn't fit Superman.
No.
You know, so anyways, let's get off DC, let's get off DC's back, okay?
Yeah, and
they're gonna try.
Yeah.
We're gonna hopefully see to be honest, I didn't even see Justice League yet
I didn't either.
So we're about to see Infinity War. We're very, very excited about it. We're gonna take a break. And we're going to come back, and then we're going to give you our overview of what we thought, spoiler-free. And then we're going to go ahead and then go into spoiler territory. So stay tuned, everyone. We're very excited to give you guys a review of Avengers Infinity War.
And tell him to suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
I don't see how that's a party.
Hey, hey, Arcaders! Welcome back to our second part of our Infinity War podcast here for Beyond the Start Button. Now, we are currently driving, so I am going to do my best to talk about said movie and drive safely as we are recording. Don't try this at home, kids. All right, so here we go. First of all, before we get into this, originally we had decided to spoil the movie, have like a spoiler filled review of this movie. But after seeing said movie, we have now realized why that the marketing campaign for Avengers Infinity War has been crying out to not spoil the movie. And we know now why after seeing the movie. So both me and Danny the Ultrasonic Player have decided to follow the hashtag because Thanos demands our silence.
Indeed.
Therefore, who would say no to Thanos?
Until later on.
Right. Well, right now, we're not going to say no to Thanos because we do not have any Infinity Stones, nor do we have superpowers. So, we're going to keep this completely spoiler-free review of Infinity War. First of all, let's just take an overview of the movie. I love the movie.
that would be an understatement because this movie is just wow.
It was so good and had so much character development, and unlike my biggest gripe with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was it had a hard time juggling all the characters. But this movie showed that you can juggle multiple characters and you care about each and every single one of them, and I thought that was really cool. The CG was amazing. Probably some of the best CG I've ever seen. To me, I don't know about you, what you thought, but to me, Thanos looked amazing.
Yeah, he looked menacing. He looked like somebody that you do not want to run into in a dark alley anywhere.
Right. And he looked very real, like he was there, like this guy was actually on set. recording with, doing everything. Not only him, but a lot of the other characters that were CG in the movie were great. Of course, obviously, Rocket coming back and Groot. We already know they're CG characters, so that's not spoiling anything. But everything was, like, this movie took everything that we've been enjoying for 10 years and amped it up to the 10th degree, maybe the 11th. We have to go up to 11.
Yeah, so, because... Yeah. and honestly, after exiting the theater, I'm just like, I am emotionally just drained in the best way possible.
Right.
Because this movie, there's too many words. Too many words, and I just don't know how to articulate just what this film did. I really can't, I mean, what they managed to pull off.
Oh, this is a movie you have to see more than once. Like, you have to see it. There is so much going on, but it's not overload. It's not overload, but to,
oh no, not at all.
I feel that to get a full extent of what's going on, you have to see it multiple times to see it kind of, now that you know, it's kind of like what I liked about Last Jedi was the first time I saw it, there was so much going on that I had a hard time following it, but after seeing it multiple times, I enjoyed it more because I knew it was going to happen, so it didn't spoil anything for me. Mm. And I could then see it from a different perspective and notice things and stuff like that. But unlike Last Jedi, the only reason I want to see this again is because I really want to go back and see all the parts that maybe I missed, because we were at a 3-story tall theater.
Yes.
And we saw it on the big screen, but we were right in front of that screen. And, it's very difficult for me to, like, see everything that's going on. So.
I mean, granted, fortunately the chairs we were on were able to recline to an extent.
Oh,
but,
yeah. Oh, yeah. And they were comfortable chairs.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I love this movie so much, and there's so much to talk about. But like I said, I really want our audience, if you're listening to this right now, I really want you guys out there to experience this movie without knowing what's gonna go on. Because I truly believe that is the best way to experience that. Now, maybe later on we'll come back and talk a little bit more about it, maybe in a future podcast. Maybe when it comes out on DVD or something like that. Maybe when it comes out, you know, for release. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah. But for right now, man, it is such a good movie. Everybody shines in that movie. Not even the minor characters who showed up, and I won't tell you exactly who, but even the minor characters that showed up had moments of awesomeness. One of the biggest gripes I hear about the MCU movies is there's a lot of jokes, and there's too many jokes in the movie.
I know, it's like, really?
And, and I believe this movie actually dialed down the jokes a little bit. Yes, they had their moments, but I think it dialed down the jokes, and I think that was on purpose. Because this is a very different Avengers movie than we've seen previously.
Yeah.
And again, that's not spoiling anything.
you pretty much have essentially, you know, a despot who's looking to basically, you know, get what he wants, and he doesn't care who he has to step on, literally and figuratively sometimes, to accomplish it.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, so again, the stakes are high. But what I like about the film, and this is, again, a hallmark of what the best MCU films do, is that they're able to keep everything on an even keel. It's not, I mean, yeah, the stakes are high, and you definitely feel for the characters, but they're still able to balance it out in just the right way to where you're still able to get caught up in the adventure. Because that's what these films are.
Right. And I will warn you, if you have not watched any of the Marvel movies for 10 years, first of all, how dare you? Second of all,
just turn in your geek card now. Really, because
but if you haven't seen it, you're not gonna get it. So you need to go back and watch it. I know there's several websites like IGN that talked about the essential movies that lead up to Infinity War. So check those out. Go to IGN. I know that's one of them that has like the essential movies you need to watch. I think the first one, I believe, is Captain America, First Avenger.
Yes.
And then going all the way up to Black Panther. So definitely not a movie you want to jump into.
Yeah,
and without knowing, of the background.
Yeah, but truth be told, if you really want the full experience, you really owe it to yourself to watch every single one of the films. So that way, when you get to Infinity War, you're pretty much going to know, okay, this is how it all leads up to.
Right.
So again, go for the essentials, but again, for the full experience, watch every single one of them. Or get them all, you know, if you have a way, you know, whether it be on iTunes, Blu-ray, the whole night, you know, all that good jazz.
Awesome. But yeah, I think we're going to end it pretty much here. Before we go, without spoiling anything, who was your first favorite character in the movie?
Oh my gosh, that is a tough one because there's so many to count. I mean, that's what's great about this film. There's so many good, excellent character moments in this movie that, quite frankly, it really is kind of a lot like being asked, okay, who's your favorite kid?
Right, you know, who's your favorite kid? You know what? I personally, I really liked, my top five, I guess, would be obviously Captain America. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves Cap.
Oh yeah.
Iron Man.
Huh?
Spider-Man.
Oh yeah.
Tom Holland did an amazing job, as always. I can't wait to see him in more Spidey movies.
Yes.
And then I also really like Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange the movie was not my favorite. It was alright, but it wasn't my favorite movie. But Benedict Cumberbatch did a great job of playing Doctor Strange, but the thing is, after I watched the movie, I was kind of like, okay, he's a cool, I guess.
yeah.
But in this movie, he really amped it up, and yeah. I am floored by him. So, I'd say Doctor Strange is in my top five.
Yeah.
But they didn't really do much with, like, there's other characters, again, this is spoiling it, so I won't say anymore, but there's some other characters that shined before, but, you know, I guess we're left a little bit on the sidelines this time around because there's just so many things going on.
But actually, you know what, to add to that, for me, okay, so now I've got my favorite character, I'm just gonna go ahead and say, yep, it was Spider-Man hands down.
Spidey,
but not just him, but also Cap as well, Iron Man.
But I think that's pretty much it. I think we're pretty good there.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much for joining us for our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that we can't get really too in-depth with the movie, but I really, because I think this podcast is going to come out very soon, in fact, probably as soon as I can get this out, I really want people to see this movie. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about this later on in the future. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for more stuff coming up. Next month is going to be our season finale. So as you all know, we have a monthly podcast, but we take a break in the summer, in June and July, and possibly September, depending on our schedules and what happens, because usually summer is the busiest time for all of us.
Yep, big time.
But stay tuned, because we might actually have stuff to kind of bridge that gap, so you don't have to worry about it. Like I said earlier, we're thinking about doing a podcast about my comic, giving you guys a little in-depth look. I know Danny the Ultrasonic Player is thinking of a few things. So stay tuned. Also, make sure you go to our website, thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com, where you can see videos, webcomics, articles, news, all kinds of things on our site. And if you're listening to us, this podcast, don't forget we also have a YouTube channel. If you go to youtube.com and find Beyond the Start Button, you can find us there. Feel free to comment if you are listening to us on YouTube, iTunes, on the site, wherever you're listening to us. Please let us know how we're doing, and you know, if we can do anything better, let us know. And if you want to find me, you can go to Instagram at ubernerd527. That's UBERNERD 527. And that's both on Instagram, Twitter. And you could also go to learn more about my comic at Facebook.com/TheBlueFlameLegends. Again, Facebook.com/TheBlueFlameLegends. Danny the Ultrasonic Player, take it away.
All right. So, and of course, you can always follow me on Instagram and under the pen name Ultrasonic9. And of course, you can find me also on fanfiction.net under the pen name Ultrasonic. And of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am there under the pen name at UltraSNCPLYR9. And yeah, so you can just follow me in any of those ways and check out what I'm working on.
Awesome. So thank you so much again for listening to us for the Beyond the Start Button podcast. We'll see you next month for a brand new episode. And Danny, take it away.
So of course, as always, keep playing with power because there are no limits.
Not everyone.
Hey Arcaders, it's Ray Gunn here, founder of the Arcade Archives Network. Thank you so much for listening to our Beyond the Start Button podcast. If you like this and you'd like to see or hear more, please head over to our website, thearcadearchives.com. We have reviews, articles, and webcomics dedicated to both nerd culture and nostalgia. If you like this podcast and you'd like to support it, there are several things you can do. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcatcher like iTunes, Google Play, or etc., please review us. Reviews help others find us and find our podcast. If you're listening on the site or you're listening to us on the Beyond the Start Button YouTube channel, please don't forget to like and comment below to interact with us. But regardless of why you're listening to us, please make sure to share this podcast with your friends on your favorite social media platforms. We work very hard every month to give you this great show. We want to share it with everyone out there. So thanks again for listening. And keep playing like it's 1981. I'll talk at you later. Bye now.
Attention, attention. The rebellion has begun. Repeat, the rebellion has begun. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network. That is